So thanks everybody for having us here. It's a pleasure to be the first time that we're actually joining the Matrix conference. And hopefully it won't be the last. I think we're here to stay. The idea was to do a quick overview of the journey that we've been through as a project, as an open source platform that has similar ideas and concepts to the Matrix. And our mission, very similar. We always wanted to empower organizations to own their communication, trying to develop the world's most open, flexible, and secure collaboration platform. So you can see why we are very friends with Matt and Mandine and the others. I think we share some of the core values about building those projects. And we also came from the same vision of the world, that enterprise communication or communication in general was just getting more and more fragmented and controlled, and we wanted to do something about it. Our idea was to look at the framework, this ecosystem of all those different apps that and platforms that organizations are using, both to talk internally, to collaborate with their teams, but also sometimes to talk externally. We have a lot of projects with governments when they try to reach out to their citizens to via WhatsApp or Telegram or Instagram or any other like SMS. So the idea of Rocket Chat was always, okay, how can we build a centralized messaging system that can be connected to everything, but in their own terms and hosted and deployed anywhere. So that was the idea. Put Rocket Chat in the center of this communication hub. And the federation part was always a very important component of the idea. We started building our own protocol in the beginning. This is a picture of me with shorter hair and dressed as an astronaut. Back in the day when it started in All Things Open 2017, and we were already talking about our own federation protocol and trying to explain how we're going to build this. So similar principles to the Matrix, event chaining, signature, state sync, but everything was done from our custom implementation. Our focus was a lot more sometimes on the bridge into WhatsApp, to the bridge into Telegram, and into the other Rocket Chat. So our initial focus wasn't that much on the protocol as the Matrix community did. So I think as a result, if you're honest, like our own protocol never matured to the same rate and never was battle tested to the same level as the Matrix protocol, right? As idea for us, we understood as the community around Federation on Matrix Federation Protocol was getting larger, we do recognize the I love this idea, is a large community and everybody contributing and having ideas on how and testing definitely would get to a better solution than what we were trying to do a little bit on your own. So the best way to have a great idea is to have lots of ideas, and especially if it's from lots and lots of people. So down the line, what happened is we got to this realization. The world doesn't need another chat app or another federation protocol. I think what we really need to do is chats that start talking to each other. And that was even more clear, and we were having these conversations with EU governments, the guys from ESAM. This is maybe a historical moment when ESAM sent an email and managed to set up a meeting with Rocket Chat, Element, Mattermost, Nextcloud, and others all in the same conference and say, guys, we love you all. Each one of you have your strengths. Each one of you has like some things that different organizations, different departments, different government likes. We would love to be able to have choice. We would love to be able to not having to standardize or enforce everybody to use just one tool. If you're really honest and open about being really honest about being open. Can you guys even collaborate and get into an agreement on how we could do this? So this demand for choice between servers and to share a standard. So out of the discussion with the ESAM, it led to this decision and consensus that the Matrix protocol was the most evolved one, the one that was already getting a lot of traction. We are humble and say, look, if this is where things are going, our protocol is not mature enough. There's a large community on adoption. We want to be good citizens of the world. We want to like not be reinventing the wheel and just creating diversion. So let's change what we are doing and let's adopt the Matrix protocol. And again, I think that only makes the protocol stronger, because really, if you want to have true vendor independence, you need to have options of vendors that are offering you the same technology. Otherwise, you're just changing one way to lock in customers or locking users, even if you don't have an option to have different providers of the goods and services that you're requiring. So having that conversation, we're saying like, look, how are we going to do that? We need to be a member. There was this Matt was presenting the different ways you could actually join the network. Some like just via a bridge, like this like blue circle here. Somehow other options would be more like embedding some of the components, putting the bridge inside your platform. And we really discussed all those different ideas about where the first one is the least intrusive approach, how they do with Slack, just by building an independent bridge between the two things. The second option is what they were building with Gitter, to actually building some of those bridges inside the server. There was more like code changes was slightly harder approach, or even discussed in a way that you could just embed components of Dendrite that you maybe compiled as modules and as libraries, and then try to import them into our Node.js codebase. And so we decided to go with this bridge architecture, trying to minimize what we had to do and the time to get something working. And it was really a trial attempt, like it was a proof of concept, right? Starting to build the bridge. What were the benefits? Was in theory faster to build, because you are so it's good as a proof of concept. Was it good to actually show the government what could be done, maybe get some buy-in, get some tests, the demand and the requirements for what we're doing? It felt like it required a lot less deeper knowledge of the protocol, because you have a Synapse server or Dendrite server in front doing all the chain, the event resolution, and so on. So you almost like you are in one step apart and abstracted, so you can actually just try to sync your events to the server who already did all the protocol magic. And felt like there was less change on our code base, because the bridge could almost talk, depending on how architecture we would do, talk to the server APIs, the bridge APIs, and talk to our APIs, and it'd be less disruptive to our own code base. On the flip side, is a lot more complex deployment. So anyone that wanted to use the bridge to actually deploy Rocket Chat and had the federation working would actually have to spin off another database. Like we use MongoDB, so they have to spin off a Synapse or a Dendrite server. They have to spin off like a Postgres. So it was almost like this duplicity of what is being deployed. So there's a big price to pay for having, for building just a bridge. You end up having not just a RockShack deployment, but a Matrix deployment in front, and all the complexity that comes with maintaining, upgrading, scaling a Matrix deployment, plus then all the complexity that comes with scaling and deploying and maintaining our own servers, right? So it was the Federation becomes a little bit of a black box. The teams had less visibility of what's going on inside the Federation. A lot of those things then becomes like you don't know if the what is actually the problem or a bug is happening, because it's this other system that you're not entirely in control or have full knowledge about. The sync sometimes it was harder because there's this duplicity of all everything into databases. If anything went wrong with the bridge, then you have to have a lot of different operations to try to sync. So gradually we start seeing that it's not that simple. There's a lot, then you're building in other points of failure, building other things that you have to try to keep sync and care for issues. And we broke one, it's not a rule, I put it in brackets because it's not a real rule, but something that we, from the very start in RocketChat, made our life easier and the life of our community easier and everybody that joined the development, is that RocketChat is built using a single language. So it's JavaScript all the way. All our clients, the mobile clients, the web clients, the desktop client, everything is using Electron, is using React Native, the servers in Node.js, like using TypeScript pretty much. But if a developer wants to join, they feel like they're only knowing one language and one definition and one part of this spec and libraries, it's easier to understand the code base because everything is written in very like uniform way. So we felt like, okay, if you're bringing these other components in different languages, start to bring a level of complexity that was kind of a little bit against our core values. So after a while, when became even more clear that Federation interoperability was the way, that there was a requirement, okay, we have real customers on the asking to go into production mode with Matrix Federation, and we couldn't really give them the support that we would like just via the bridge. We are not experts on scaling Matrix servers. We're like, there was a lot of gaps in our knowledge on how to do that. And we felt that it was this black box was a lot harder to maintain and to justify to our customers the complexity of the deployment. So after maybe 2 years of using the bridge to showcase what we wanted to do and validating the requirements and the needs, and we decided, okay, now it's about time. We've learned maybe enough building the bridge that we felt comfortable. We should start building our own. And that's where the journey began early this year, to say, look, let's get together. And started as a proof concept. If we were to start a Matrix server from literally from scratch, just starting reading this pack and implementing it and looking to the implementations in other languages as a reference, but starting from scratch, let's do a real attempt. So started a little bit as a POC. So we, rather than starting to build directly inside RocketChat, we decided to build as a different repository. So it'd be easy to just literally start from nothing. And it wouldn't break anything. It would be just like a headless server, like, say, because there was no even UI on this server. And the idea was, yeah, let's make a simple deployment with no extra dependencies, that it take full control about the APIs. We fully understand what they do, what we can ourselves break into microservices later on. Make sure it's all using a single database, MongoDB in our case, so we don't have duplicity of data moving forward. We reduce all this duplication and syncing issues. And let's go back to make everything into the language that we love, which is JavaScript and TypeScript. It would be easier to share the knowledge with our developers, with the JavaScript community, which is a very, very considerably large community, that, and maybe try to get more developer adoptions in a language that we didn't find, at least the best of our knowledge, you have to look searching, like maintained home servers in JavaScript that were maybe have a company behind that is committed to continue to develop and put resources into it and bring its community to maintain it. So we realized we're building something that was not reinventing the wheel. It was building a home server on a new language that opened up the matrix, the protocol to a bigger audience, right? Yeah, what was the challenge? It required us to study the protocol in deep. The team had a considerable learning curve in trying to understand the spec sometimes, and then maybe on the Q&A can go a little bit more into the details about things that maybe the spec does is clear about maybe some how they expect those events to work, but there's some room for interpretation and how you're going to implement and optimize or sequence those things. So there's a lot of stuff that the spec doesn't touch, and maybe it's not even its scope to define how the application handle it. But we found there's a lot of things that we have to, I don't know, decide for yourself, and maybe there is opportunity to share some best practice between developers of Matrix home servers about what is the most optimized way to deal with some of those conflict resolution and sequencing things and stuff. So you don't have to do what we need to do. We go sometimes to the code base to understand how others were doing it. So try to understand how we should do and do our own testing and optimizations. But again, I think it's not a protocol specification, but maybe there is an opportunity to some other discussion or specifications on optimization for home servers. Because now, as a con, the optimization and performance became our responsibility. Before it was this Synapse black box that the Element team and Matrix team were working to build the pro version and optimizing and scaling. Once you got in and developer on, we also had to make sure that we are okay with now this being our own responsibility on how to do that. But it's something that we've been doing for all other components of Rocket Chat into breaking those into microservices. So I think we end up, our Rocket Chats have a similar approach to what Synapse Pro does when it breaks some of those functions into specialized microservices. We do the same. You just don't change the language, but it's a similar thing. So we believe we'll be able to do similar optimizations on the matrix components parts on our part of the home server. After this POC that we got together and created this this architecture, it's a mono repo. Here's the URL. You can go there. It's just github.com/rocketchat/home-server. We put a AGPL3 license there to invite the community to help us test. We have a list of maybe things we can invite the community to do, not just test, but look at into how to scale. Obviously, there are some missing features there. It's a pretty fresh baked version. It was even a little bit closed while you're digging, trying to make it work. I think if you go there and look at the the license. We just changed the license of open source now that we'll be able came to the conference to be able to tell you guys. Before we were kind of like working behind the curtains and trying to make something to a workable state. And the interesting part is because we started as a standalone server, the idea was maybe once finished, we would get this in standalone server, all those definitions of the functions and the endpoints, and maybe move to inside Rocket Chat. But after thinking about it, we decided, look, we don't need to just move all the code base inside Rocket Chat. Maybe there is a place for it in the community, and to be a standalone home server, a very simple one, like doesn't even have the UI, but something that we can publish those components as an NPM package that other servers can import and then have those server-to-server APIs. Or if someone wants to really maybe build a bot or a service that and we started to think about different use cases. Maybe I want to add, do a DM of a bot from Uber, just like contact, and I get the user ID of this bot, and then I can talk on the other side. Let's say on this on Uber, they don't need to run a full home server or something. They can just spin up versions of this little standalone server in Node.js and connect to a large language model or create an automation or something. So it becomes, you can create those services that are answering directly just by adding a user ID as a DM or adding to a room, and they'd be running on their own domains without having to do a bridge or anything else. You just like this small Node.js microservices that are capable of being invited to rooms. I think I kind of like this idea. So we kept it something that can run standalone, or we export and you can embed as NPM packages. Also something that was very, we built it for ourselves, but then we published because I think other people will find the benefit, and Rodrigo will do a demo of it, is if you want to run it locally and test all those components, we were having initially, for us at least, like having a hard time to do it initially, to understand all the certificates, everything you have to install, all the things you have to do, to have your little mesh of Matrix, Synapse servers, Rocket Chat servers, our Node.js home server running, so you can test all talking to each other. So we built a Docker Composer that you just getting some of those configurations and keys. And in a similar way, what Matt was showing this morning with the ESS the controller, once you do it, you in a few minutes you just have all this virtual ecosystem of Matrix home servers with different versions, different nodes running different softwares, and then you can all talk into each other, so you can play around, see if your changes or stuff that you're working on, it's actually like working and getting through all the nodes. It currently uses MongoDB because we use MongoDB, but it's built in a way, the way it's using the database is pretty simple, so we plan to make it DB agnostic in the future. And right now we have a full list of what is working, like DMs, small groups, threads, no end-to-end encryption yet, and video parts. So there is some things still to be worked on. So help is wanted, welcome. And it's an alpha release, right? It's limited performance tests. The next things we'll talk about the roadmap, what we are working on, but it's now it's this alpha release coming out hopefully today. The guys here haven't slept much, they're like trying to finish for the talk, but it's still going through CI before we can push the button. And for us, why it was important to do this way, it's building is allowed us to do a progressive integration. So allowed us to evolve without breaking our existing ecosystem. So if you have other if you have a server or apps thing that you have built that you want to gradually be able to add those features without having to change much of your data model, all this kind of stuff, maybe it's a good way for you too. So the SDK, how the way it currently works, there is some duplication because it keeps just the chain of events on its own collection. Mainly so you can replace the, if there's a bug or there's something, like we're not completely throwing all the information. And on the Rocketshot side, we have our data model for how we store messages. So the SDK allow us to do a translation and save the processed events then into our own collections. But at least now it's on the same database. Before it was completely different data models in different databases. It was a lot harder to make those even migration scripts and all this kind of thing. Now, because it's on the same database and the model is somehow similar, it gives us a path to eventually maybe even start changing our data model to be closer to the events data model. And maybe eventually we'll just not have any data duplication at all, but do this on a progressive way. For us, it was very important not to disrupt existing users, and we didn't want to change our UI and our clients. So we kept our client to server APIs and everything that already works in Rocketshot with the large deployments that we have. So the alpha release today, you can send, receive, edit, delete message, reactions, mentions, quotes, direct message, group, threads, file sharing, including audio recording, join leave rooms. We don't have the accept invitations yet. I think this concept didn't exist in Rocketshot. So this alpha version, if someone invites you to a room, you just join the room automatically. That's on the roadmap. You said at least you can then set domains that you trust that you're allowed to federate with your users. So you'll be able to at least know trusted organizations that you're federating to. Obviously, once you come out of alpha, like all the things will be fixed. You have the invites and have all the other definitions of the protocol. You can change room attributes, name, topic, set room owners, moderators, all the your usual stuff. The present synchronization as well works. So still haven't been able to look into performance issues. So depending if it's a large deployment, that's something that has not been optimized yet. But we even have the user typing indicator. So all the things now working, it's a much more complete set of features than we had on our bridge. Even after working years on the bridge, was a lot harder to get to this point than we were able this year. Mainly, obviously, we put more engineers into it. Maybe that's one of the reasons. And on the roadmap, so obviously it's in alpha now, so there's going to be the next cycles focused on stability and quality. There's improvements on the UI, so users have a better idea of the flow. You're going to see on the demo, I think it's already pretty good, but there are obviously things that could be more clear. The next big thing is the end-to-end encryption. I think is a big part of privacy and security. Is for us, we have end-to-end encryption in Rocketshot, but we do in a different way from what the protocol and the federation would expect us to do. So we'll refactor and rebuild the federation from the ground up using the specs and the definitions from Matrix. So you'll be able to talk from any Matrix server to a Rocketshot server end-to-end encrypted. Also incorporate the voice calls, voice and video calls, a work that is being, you guys saw presentations, is currently like maturing. We also have our video calls, but we want to be able to make video calls from one system to another. Then I think once we have encryption and video calls and at least the stability of the system is there, we'll really focus on performance and scalability, because that's going to be the big thing. We have deployments also with like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of users, and we want to be able to turn on and not care about federated rooms. And the last one, that's after all those other things are working, we are considering how to implement the client-to-server APIs. Definitely during the process of building the end-to-end encryption and video calls, those APIs that are missing on the way you're building them will gradually import the client-server APIs from the matrix definition. So, and I think it would be a path to get there. It's not going to be a one release to another, you get all those APIs, but gradually you're going to see those APIs appearing. So hopefully you think like there's a lot of investment. If this is a result of years of working of the Rocket Chat team, like from the bridge to our own protocol, 2 years working on the bridge, getting closer to the community, now building our own server. And just to say, like, you're here to stay, we now even Rocket Chat to Rocket Chat federation is done via Matrix protocol. So we don't even have our protocol anymore. The release that is coming out today removes all the prior codes that was our own federation protocol, to say the only way to federate servers, even between Rocket Chat now, is going to be Matrix. So you'd expect this protocol to mature more and more, as it's the only way even to Rocket Chat servers to talk to each other. So you see a long future with Matrix, not just an integration. We are really keen in collaboration. So we want to work in the post-quantum encryption. So we plan, like, we sponsor we are already members of the foundation, and increase our sponsorship so we can fund developments like the post-quantum encryption. We have already ideas of things that exist on the Rocket Chat world that doesn't exist on the Matrix. They put like custom emojis, but they're also like, so our roles and permission system is not just by levels, it's a little bit more granular, is a attribute based access control. We want to maybe be able to solidify makes on the JS world by having a home server written entirely in TypeScript, JavaScript, by having maybe the SDK that we're building cleaned up, like a new version, and something that we maintain. So the idea is really become an important part of the community, be nice to everybody, and be a key player on a community that we do admire and are proud to be a member. This is, for instance, like something that I was sketching with Matt about how Rocket Chat Matrix can even share, like, on the end-to-end encryption, share some of the components to make it work. So we're really already looking into how to turn some of those things into reality, to make the end-to-end encryption work and the post-quantum encryption work between Rocket Chat and all the Matrix clients like Element and others. So maybe it's about demo time. Let's see. Hopefully all working.
All right. Is it showing?
Yes. There? To make bigger, or maybe a little bit.
Yep. Okay. All right. So I'm going to show you the demo of an alpha feature that we just released. So what can go wrong, right? But before that, I want to go through one of the challenges we had when we started the development of this from scratch. Even though we worked on the protocol for some time and got inspired on the initial when we built ourselves and when we built the bridge, we understood a little bit how it worked. When we start developing ourselves, one of the main challenges we had was how we run this locally. It was not easy to figure it out and run like a Synapse using the SSL needs locally with the Rocket Chat running in a development environment. So we could run things and make the communicate. And again, we start testing how the protocol works and start testing if everything that we are building, the events that we're building, the states we're building, we're sending or being accepted by the Synapse or the Android, and on the other way around the same way. So you can debug and trace how Element and Synapse in this case were sending the events to our servers, so we can understand how we handle those things correctly. And for that, we ended up building a Docker Compose that we have on a, let me find it here. We have it in a, it's not open. It's a Matrix home server local. We have in a repository that you guys can check there as well, where we built this simple Docker Compose that spin ups some segregated networks and spin ups some other services that can help us to route things internally on the Docker, like we call 8S1 the Synapse, and we have two here. We can copy and have more than one, and we have some configurations that just to put some self-signed certificates in the container and configure some users for Red starting it and running for testing environment. And then we run Rocket Chat and of course Element as a UI local, and Rocket Chat as well here for our candidate for the release that we're going to have with this feature, and having a Rider configuration for running Rocket Chat configured for the Matrix protocol, having a Matrix signing key that passed through environment variable and other configurations that are needed. And then you can run the whole thing in Docker Compose and have the local environments running that. For that, just showing quickly here in our README, we have a make file that helps us set up all the self-signed certificates on the system, and Red put all the hosts on the ATC host for you, so you just do a command and spin up all the environment and works locally. That's how you do for the demo here. And I hope it works, right? So let me try to do that. From Docker Compose, we have some profiles. So using profile all, like by default, it spin ups only the home server, the Synapse, and the Element, because we tend to run Rocket Chat locally in the development environment. So we keep changing the code and use the containers just for the Synapse and Element to exchange the information. So one of the features of this Docker Compose here is to have traffic handling and propagating one of the hosts, that's the rrc.host, to the machine host. So it can use the local running process that is accessible through the containers that are running inside the Docker Compose. So if we're running with the profile all, it spin ups a second home server, second Synapse, and two Rocket Chat environments together and a MongoDB that's needed for the Rocket Chat to run. While it's running, just passing through here the rest of the file, we have the MongoDB and the well-known, it's a small Nginx that hosts a well-known root path. If you want to run, in this case, we're running Rocket Chat with a different domain. So it's a hosted on rc.host, but I want to federate it as a Rocket Chat.host. So that's mimicking a way where you have your server in a different place, a different address, than the address you want to use are your domain for the usernames. And that was one of the cases we had to handle correctly and ensure that it was passing the well-known and all information, validating the right rows on the events and things like that. So that's the way we put on this container as well to be able to check that. Of course, all those things are examples that you can use to run Synapse with those rows as well locally to test how it works, or any other home implementation, home server. So let's see if it's a red running. So if I open here the Element UI that I just created, let me open another, created a container. If I sign in, I have an admin account. It's admin. So, sorry, it's a bunch of. And So you can see that element host name in my local etc at hosts, it is slash etc slash hosts is a right pointing to my local address under 27001 and RC1, RC2 as well. So the traffic inside the Docker Compose then handles the containers that it's providing those servers. So on RocketChat, the default username is admin as well. So now we have a local environment running for the RocketChat and Element on at the same time.
Quiero login.
Sorry? Here? Okay. So now I can start creating a room. Let's say I will start a DM, right? So if I go to at admin.rc1, it should show as a completion. And now I have to send a message for it to start a room. It takes a little bit of time. As Gabriel mentioned, we don't have the concept of the invite, so we had to delay a little bit the auto accept of the invite. Otherwise, we kind of have some issues of the having the previous message, the hi that I send, as the previous event of the join event to get it on the flow. So now you see that the room is open on both sides, the typing, it should work well, and if sending message is gonna transition between the servers. So I can, of course, like do a thread here, it opens on the other side, on Synapse, and on Element, and it should show everything correctly. Fortunately. Thank you. So we had to translate, of course, how we handle emojis, how we handle our markdown, and so it's thumbs up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But we had to translate some of the details. We handle markdown a little bit different. So we have the translation kind of SDK image of that, but it's outside of the SDK that we are providing now, right? So it's on the RocketChat side because it's not the generic for other implementations. So of course, like that, you can open a room and add more users and
voice.
So forth. Send voice. Yeah, maybe I can try to send a voice here.
No, I'm taking too far the demo.
Yeah. Well, I was using this website. Yeah, let's see how it goes. Not sure if that are gonna share my audio here.
Anyway, yeah.
But the file is there. Everything works correctly here. So, just to show up, this is the demo, the repository where we have the home server. As Gabriel mentioned, it's basically an SDK that we import on RocketChat side, and then we listen to events and we call methods on these SDKs, the JavaScript, TypeScript SDK. And it's AGPL right now, so you can get that, contribute back, and use for other projects. You have the instructions on how to run that. And yeah, maybe if you have time, we can go through the code. But now I hand off back to Gabriel to finish some other slides, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have the slides here, so you can use my computer.
Ah. Continue from. So it worked, magic.
Yeah, fortunately.
So advantage of maybe why you may like this one, again, single language, JavaScript all the way for everything that you need to do. Hopefully you saw with the Docker Compose, it's simple, fast, easy way to deploy, run, contribute, test the environment. Using NoSQL supports, starting with MongoDB now, but idea is to make it more database independent in the future. And this very basic server right now that it can import as an SDK, you can import into different projects and then make them matrix picking enable without having to run extra extra components in front of it, which I think is can be pretty cool. So we then you said, do I need it? So RocketChat, we are trying to build a secure Chrome OS trying to make it the most flexible system we can, trying to join the Matrix ecosystem as good citizen of the world and supporting what I think it's being done, which is great. And congratulations to Matt and to all the Matrix team and Element team, what they have built. And hopefully we'll be able to build a even more distributed and world with more option. We left some time, I think we have 5 minutes for Q&A, so we'd love to Rodrigo to answer your questions.
Thank you, that's amazing. We have a quick question, I think, from the online chat. So I'm very interested in your home server. Do you have a public development room for contributions?
We haven't rocket chat. No, do we? Is it
not
public?
Yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. But it's a good one for us.
Like I said, we just published the project, and it was an internal thing until now. But let's make sure we do, and that we federate with the with. So we'll work on that. So let's get back and we'll publish. Make sure we publish on the README of the repo as soon as we get it is done.
Okay, great. From the audience, any questions? Yes, here.
Hi there. Great to see what you're doing. Brilliant. A question I had about the client-server APIs, which you talked about, they're on the roadmap, and I was trying to figure out, or I couldn't see where, how do they fit into your future architecture then? Because at the moment, it seems like you, with the RocketChat client, you're doing that via your own MongoDB integration. So do you have an internal use case for the client-server API in the future? Or was it more just for the community?
It's a little bit of both. There is, for instance, the whole work around if we're going to implement the end-to-end encryption on the way that is the protocol required, there is client-server APIs, the definitions on how to do it, right? The calling mechanisms as well. So all the new things that you need to implement make sense for us to then use the Matrix-defined APIs. And some of those we'll gradually implement on the messaging and others because it's not that different that would justify to keep maintaining the, our own set of APIs. And I think the community would benefit from being able to use different clients and our clients become a Matrix-capable client and other clients be able to talk to RocketChat.
Okay, very cool. Because I wrongly got the impression that you were basically going to break the end-to-end encryption at the point of the transition, but it sounds like you're not, and you're actually going to extend the Matrix end-to-end encryption into inside RocketChat.
We'll break our own end-to-end encryption. We'll stop working. Yes, we will.
Yeah, and replace it with the Matrix one. Okay,
yeah.
Makes sense.
Thanks. Thank you. Another from the audience.
Who is this guy?
So I may have missed this at the beginning, but what was the hardest bit of the home server implementation?
Probably still to come, but so far.
I don't know. We have the guys at development here to help answer.
Now is the time to say what was the hardest bit. There was, I think, from what I've heard when you're like developing, and I mentioned before, things that are on the spec, but there is room for the implementation to define the best strategy to do those things. So to figure out, a lot of times they were like reading the code base,
itself, yeah.
The code itself. And I think like maybe it's not the scope of the spec to tell you how to do some of the stuff, but it helps a lot, or at least when implementing, having to come to the same conclusions and look how others have done, maybe having a place where those things could be better suggestions at least, not maybe it would help. Now you want to say something.
So I think most of the state resolution part, like it's not on the spec, like, but we know there might be state conflicts we need to solve, and how we make them appear or be represented in RocketChat, because like state resolution can be a mess if you are like offline for a while. So how do we, while we are resolving the state, how do we make the changes on Rocket Chat part?
Mainly when you're talking about previous events that are not even on the UI anymore.
Exactly. So yeah, that's I think was on one of the hardest parts.
Yeah.
Okay, any further questions from the audience? I do have a comment from the chat matrix room about the recent license change. Do you have any insight into that?
Is that more specific on your color?
So the
like I said, we just changed the license of the SDK to AGPL3. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are part of Rocket Chat itself that we, in the same way, kind of Element has Element Pro. We end up creating, making Rocket Chat the microservices, and some of the features became enterprise features. So from when Rocket Chat inception was MIT everything, as the company matured and we understand the level of investment that is required to keep projects running, to be able to sponsor, become a sponsor of the foundation. In one point, VCs want to see companies making money. And I think it's a very responsible thing for open source, open core companies to really find that balance on what features we build, and we have a similar view from what Matt was presenting today, which I think was kind of influenced maybe by GitLab and how Tsitsi talk about things. Features which benefit the user, we try to make them freer and available, and features that are more used by larger organizations and benefit larger admins and large deployments, we try to then create a version of Rocket Chat that is charged. So the change of license on the Rocket Chat side was to allow us to have a sustainable business model, which allow us to invest and build the stuff that we're showing here. And on the API itself that we showed today, I thought it was we put AGPL because we wanted a lot of other people to contribute and participate, and there was no restriction there.
Okay, thank you. If there are no further questions, I think we're run out of time. So once again, thank you for presenting your project, and good round.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So yeah, you can come talk to us. We'll be downstairs, just by the Matrix booth table. And yeah, thank you. The process is open, and we're just beginning.
And we'll be back in 8 minutes. Thank you.